one time again all over this place. Let's just worship our God tonight. You are so great, God. You're so mighty. You're so holy, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I've been given the honor to introduce tonight's speaker. I've known him all my life. Amen. I was born and I said, "Father, is that you?" And he's like, "Da." So I thought he was Russian at first, but amen. But if anyone embodies the concept of every conference, every kindred and tongue and people and nation, I can think of no one else but my father. He's been an international missionary and reaching folks from every kindred, tongue, nation, all his life. You know, he leaves Madison with a list of folks that I need to reach out to, the Jamaican at the hotel who he talked to, and then, oh yeah, and then this guy, and here's some tracks. You know, he is a master of tracks. I was thinking today, why, God, did you send him on the mission field? And it hit me, like, he would not be effective in the U.S. with all the no solicitation laws and, you know, don't pass out anything because his hands would be tied. But as a kid, I was forced to put tracks everywhere. Go put that on the car. I'm like, I don't want to put it on the car. Like, what if they come out and, like, but that's him reaching out to folks everywhere, every culture. Amen. If you want the professional biography, go read it somewhere, but this is the inside scoop. He's a linguist. Friday night or Saturday, he was speaking French to Anusia. He could speak Greek and German, a little Russian, a little Arabic, on and on and on. He'll connect somehow, and he'll figure it out, and that's the beauty. He's a master of information, connections to places, people. You know, they say there's like a six degree of separation. He's more like 2 degrees with everybody. He knows everybody or can connect pieces of information. And with that, the random factoid, if he was not a missionary, a minister of the gospel, he would be a tour guide. He knows all the bakeries, all the sweet shops in this world. There's a great one up in Green Bay I found. So if you're headed to Green Bay, let me know. I'll get you that information and you go try those out. But with that, I want my father to come to minister. He will have a message tonight to minister to us.
Shukran, Philip. I am so glad that somebody sent me an invitation to the Every Conference. They were afraid I wouldn't come, so they sent me another invitation. And our great God has come to bless us for the last 48 hours. Praise God. And to think that that great God, who came from thousands, millions, billions of miles away, to think that he became our Savior is so magnificent. And I'm so glad that I know him. I'm glad that I know his name. Amen. And I want you to be seated at this time because there's one more thing we have to do, which is not to tell you that if you need an international greeting card, you'll get in the hallway from my wife. But this is an Every Conference, and today, if this is your first time tonight, today is All Nations Sunday. And so that's why we have all the flags here. And I feel at home because I've got a German flag on my right hand, and I've got a Greek flag over there on my left hand. Amen. And I just feel at home with all this international singing, some of which I could sing and some of which I wish I could sing. Amen. But we want to know who is here from which nations. And we know there's a bunch of folks from Wisconsin here, so you count. I'm not going to ask you to stand. We also know, as we've so wonderfully heard, that we've got some folks here from Syria. Praise God. I always wanted to go to Aleppo. I doubt I'm never going to have the chance now. And then we've got some folks here from Nepal. Praise God. Now, in my church in Athens, Greece, we had a fellow from Nepal visit us. His name was Cat Wells. He was a Brit. Sometimes when they visit your church, you don't ask them what they do. I just suspicion he was probably a drug runner. But I want you to stand one at a time and tell us what nation you're from or what passport you have, if it's different than the United States. And so can we have some folks who want to help us out very quickly? What nation are you from besides America, Nepal, or Syria? Canada, amen. Amen. Write it down, Brother Philip. Okay. Who's here from somewhere else? El Salvador. Gracias, amigo, hermano. Okay. What do we have back here? Egypt. Marhaba. Hallelujah. Keith Halleck. Colombia. Gloria a Dios. Colombia. Amen. Who's next? He's from Upper Volta. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, and our brother here is from Dominican Republic. Gloria a Dios again. Amen. Someone else. Uganda. East Africa. Amen. Mexico. Hallelujah. Gloria Señor. Congo. Très bien, gloire à Dieu, merci beaucoup. Et vous? Honduras, Honduras. Amen, hallelujah. Nicaragua. Amen. You see, you don't have to go to New York City. We could have the United Nations right here. Amen. Anybody else want? From the Republic of Texas. Okay, Nepal. Okay, okay. Sister. Okay, Bosnia-Herzegovina. Amen. Slava Bogu. Hallelujah. Slava Bogu. Amen. I have been in that area. In fact, one of our young friends lives in Croatia, and he's also living close to Bosnia-Herzegovina. Praise God. Amen. An area that's been affected by difficulties in the past, we pray that God will bring peace to those people. Amen. Anybody else? Is there somebody here from England or the United Kingdom? Don't be shy, sister. You don't have to have British Reserve in a Pentecostal church, okay? Praise God. Brother Philip, how are we doing? 16. Amen. Just like the day of Pentecost, 16 different languages. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. In the Old Testament, I want to begin tonight from Jeremiah chapter 30 and 31 especially in verse 1. But Jeremiah 30 verse 22 says, "And you shall be my people and I shall be your God." That's a promise. And in chapter 31 verse 1, "At the same time saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And tonight, for a little while, I want to speak to you from the subject in verse 1, the God of all the families. The God of all the families. Now, all of my life, I have been blessed to be part of a family. I had a mother and a father, and I knew them. They took me to church growing up 3 times a week. And Friday, when I got old enough, they took me to the teen group, or one of the other families of the church would take me, and then we'd take them the following week. I had and still have 3 sisters. I only had 1 grandmother. She lived over 700 miles away, and we'd see her maybe once every 2 years. I had 1 aunt and uncle who lived nearby. They were special folks because they were my pastor and his wife. I only had 1 boy cousin of my age or close to my age, and he lived over 700 miles away, so I was very deprived growing up. And then about 45 years ago, or 46, whatever the calendar year is, I left home and I began a new home with the lovely singer of Zion, Valerie Nay Teeme from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Amen. So this church, if it makes us feel at home because my wife's from Wisconsin, and because for 21 years you've taken our kids in while we were running the mission fields overseas. We've had a wonderful life together. My wife and I, we went to Greece and Switzerland on our honeymoon to spy out the land because I was already called to the nation of Greece. And then we ended up, surprisingly, after assisting Paul Lehman in Detroit for a year, the year that Detroit was the murder capital of the USA. See, you think it's scary to be a missionary. It could be worse. You might stay here. Praise God. Amen. And we went to Germany for 1 year. And there I ended up pastoring a little German church. We began to travel with our team and did evangelism in many different cities and countries. And then a year later, when we came home, we were appointed to the nation of Greece as the first modern missionaries going there. And we were there under appointment for 15 years. And now we have succeeded in accomplishing 25 years in the nation of Deutschland, Germany. We have 3 children. That's our family. And 6 grandchildren, the 6 being more recent. Our kids are in 3 different states, so we don't see them all the time. But when we get together, look out. In fact, sometimes it's just when we get together texting one another on the cell phones, amen, and they start texting at 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm half groggy and they're going down and here's the latest picture of little baby Josiah, and then somebody else says, how cute, and then somebody else says, oh, that's wonderful, and then this goes on for about an hour back and forth, amen. So our spread out family, we have close unity, but in different ways. I have no brother. And my wife has no sister. But together, we have hundreds of brothers and sisters in the family of God. I have 1 daughter and 2 sons. But I have many spiritual daughters, and some of them are pastoring in the Philippines. I only have 2 sons, but I got another 3 sons in the United Pentecostal Church of Great Britain and Ireland. Brother Okala from Nigeria is a pastor. John Blackmore from England is a pastor in Southampton. And Brother Banji from Nigeria, who I baptized in Greece, is pastoring in Ireland. So these are sons and daughters in the gospel. If you study the word family in the Bible, you will find it about 202 times. What's interesting and surprising when I study this out is that you find the word families in the plural more than you find it in the singular family. What was really shocking is that when you compare the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you suspicion what's going to be the difference there, you only find the word in the New Testament in and of itself, mia fora, one time. And that's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, amen. And there we read, Paul's writing, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in verse 15 he says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." One family in heaven and on earth. Praise God. I'm glad I'm a part of that family of God. I'm glad I have a heavenly Father. One of my favorite songs that my wife used to sing years ago, when she used to sing before she gave that job to our daughter Laura, who was here last Sunday, was a song that says, "We are our heavenly Father's children, and he knows and he cares." And if you don't know that song, don't ever forget, he knows you and he cares. He knows about your problem. He knows about your burden. He knows when you're a student away from home. He knows when you just lost a job. He knows when you're sick. And he cares because our Heavenly Father wants you to be his children. Praise God. Amen. In the Old Testament, we find this word back in Genesis chapter 10. In Genesis 10, verse 5, and we read this the other day, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands." The continents were divided from one Mother Earth continent. "Every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations." This is an every conference where we have emphasized every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation, but it's not every family, because there's only one family, and that's the family of God. There's only one Father, and that's the Father of this wonderful family of God. Praise God. Now, there are in the Bible nuclear families, as well as family groupings. In verse 18 of the same chapter, we're told about the Arvadite and the Zemarite and the Hamathite. And afterward, there were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. Later, you read in verse 20 about Ham and their families and their tongues in their countries and in their nations. And in verse 31, we read about the sons of Shem, another son of Noah, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. So when Noah, amen, made the ark, the other peoples of the world were destroyed because of sin. Amen. Not because God didn't like them, but because of sin. So when Noah began the human race again, there was one family. But in time, that family became divided. Those people were separated. The nations began to develop as the continents were separated. Amen. And in Numbers chapter 26, we read about that family as well. Amen. Numbers 26, verse 18 and verse 22. "These are the families of the children of Gad, according to those that were numbered of them, 40,500. In verse 22, we read, "These are the families of Judah, according to those that were numbered, 76,500. These are tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes from the 12 sons. And in verse 25, amen, again, "These are the families." Now, when Jesus comes, about 1,500 years after Numbers 26, 25, Jesus comes to the world, how? Through the family. He takes part in the human condition. And God is God, but God became part of us. God became part of the human condition. He came to this planet and he was born in a manger and he grew up as a babe. Amen. And then he becomes our Savior. He walked with us. He talked with us. John the Apostle writes later in his life and in his ministry that we talked to him. We touched him. We handled with him. Amen. We ate with him. Amen. And he was our, if you please, our elder brother, as well as the Lord, our Savior. Amen. And when Jesus began to teach people how to reach out to God, he begins with a family relationship in the Lord's Prayer, Vater Unser, by saying, our Father which art in heaven. But our Father who began in heaven became our Son, amen, to shed blood on a rugged cross so that we might be saved and become part of that wonderful divine family. Amen. And so Jesus, even in those first Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you never read the Bible, where do you begin? That's a good starting point. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. When you get done there, then read the first 10 chapters of John. Then read the first, amen, 10 chapters of Romans. And then the first 10 chapters of Acts. Why? Because John 1 to 10 shows you the Savior. Romans 1 to 10 shows you the need for salvation. And Acts 1 to 10 shows you how to be saved. Amen. Praise God. And so Jesus shows us that relationship. He comes down and he doesn't say, I am Dios Poderoso. He doesn't say, I'm the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Pantocrator Theos. And so he talks about a relationship to the God in heaven, which was spirit only before. And so he talks about his Father. And he says, I am his Son. He doesn't even say, I'm his prophet. He doesn't even say, I'm his Messiah. He just says, I'm his servant. I'm his Son. Because he's trying to show us as our example that God can be our heavenly Father. You see, the Greeks of Paul's day and the Greeks of Jesus' day, they had gods up there on the mountains. And they had Zeus God, and they had Apollo God, and they had Mercury God, they had Aphrodite God, they had Athena, the goddess of wisdom. And the Greeks down in the valley, when they needed help, they would go up to this god or that god or another god, but he was far off. For some people right here in Madison and Dane County, God is far off and they don't know him. But that far off God comes to you at night. He comes to you in the day. He comes to you in your moment of need. And he says, I want to be your heavenly Father. I want to be your elder brother. I want to be your Savior. Praise God. I want to be your comforter. I want to be your healer. Whatever you need, come to the family and you will find it there. In the Old Testament began with one family, Adam and Eve. In the New Testament, it begins with two families. The family of John the Baptist, and then the family of Jesus Christ. In both cases, you have four people who were important to the birth of their children. Zechariah and Elizabeth were praying to God for a miracle child which he gave called John the Baptist. Amen. Mary and Joseph weren't even married yet, but God came on the scene and said, Mary, you're going to have a son. Amen. And that son is going to be a savior of the world because God was reaching out through a human family. When Jesus began his ministry, he began it with a miracle, turning the water into wine. We won't read that, but you might know it there from John 2 when he went to a wedding. So he blessed a wedding by going, and then he blessed a wedding by giving them a miracle. In Mark chapter 1, amen, verse 29 to 31, we have the next miracle taking place, amen. And after he had spoken in the synagogues, after he had read, no doubt, the words of Luke 4:18-19, his fame is spreading. And so in verse 29 of Luke 1, they come out of the synagogue and they enter into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So this was the starting point, the family of the Apostle Peter. But Simon's wife's mother-in-law, amen, mother lay sick of a fever. So this is Peter's mother-in-law, and they tell Jesus about this lady. What did he do in Peter's mother-in-law's family house? He takes her by the hand and he lifts her up, and immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. So again, Jesus came to a family to bless a family, to show his love for a family, to show his concern for a family. He's not going to say, Pete, follow me. Andrew, follow me. And I don't care about your mom or your mother-in-law. And if God calls you to service, he cares about your family. Some missionaries overseas have difficult choices when the kids grow up because they love their kids and God cares about their family. But sometimes, what do you do? Where can my kids land? Thank God for the family of God, the church, that will take an MK in or take a student in and will say, you may be from 200 miles away, or you may be from 2,000 miles away, or you may be from 6,000 miles away where your parents grew you up, but thank God that the church becomes the mother of us all, the family of us all. Praise God. Amen. Jesus often ministered in homes. Amen. He, a home belonging to somebody's family. When Matthew was called, Jesus went to his home and met his family and his friends. One day, Jesus was out ministering, and there was a man up in the tree who thought he was in hiding. You can't hide from God, so quit your hiding. Amen. And Jesus is walking by, and the guy is thinking, oh, good, he doesn't see me. And Jesus stopped and said, hey, Zach, I see you. I know you. I know your situation. So go home and tell your wife to get the tea ready, because I'm going to be there in 7 minutes. Yorkshire Harrogate tea. Amen. And so Jesus comes to Zacharias' family, to Zacchaeus' family. And God changes the father. And when God changed the father, the whole family got changed. And Zacchaeus did more than what Jesus asked him, because Zacchaeus was so glad that Jesus was concerned about him and concerned about the family. When Jesus met a single woman at a well, he asked about her family. She was a little hesitant to tell him in John 4, amen. But Jesus was letting her know, amen, it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what your family situation is. You could become part of the family of God, amen. Then she tried to offer the excuses. Well, you Jews, you have your family worship down in Jerusalem. But we Samaritans, she said we, but she really wasn't going to church. Amen. We have our worship here in Samaria. And what did Jesus say to her? Amen. That God is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter what your family is. Doesn't even matter what your religion is. Doesn't matter what your passport is. I've been there when the cops came looking for Banu, and that was the one day in about a whole year that she didn't come, but they could have busted one third of my church for being illegal. Jesus says, we'll take care of that later. I love you. I'm calling you. I'm reaching out to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's not important your background. What's important is that you worship God. Worship him in the spirit and worship him in the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got to have both. Praise God. And then the burden got heavy, and Jesus found a family where he could retreat, and he would go visit Lazarus, his friend, and Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. And he found peace with that family. In the last last few years in Germany, we had a wonderful family that became part of our church, coming from the nation of Fiji. Brother Joe was with the British forces. Amen. It was such a thrill to baptize his sister and his mother in the name of Jesus there in Paderborn, Germany. Just recently, his mother left this life. I'm so glad that we baptized her in the saving name before she departed, praise God. And any time we would visit Brother Joe and his wife Mary, which wasn't that often, they would have some food for us. They would have tea for us. And then they would begin to sing. If you've ever heard Hawaiian melodies, the Fijian melodies, out Hawaii and the Hawaiians, you don't want to miss heaven, folks. It's going to be the biggest concert you've never been to in life. Amen. Amen. And I don't know what we're going to be like. John says we're going to be like him. But as I told Brother Hanscom, I don't think some of these cultural differences are going to distinguish. I think you're going to hear the Ethiopian choir. You're going to hear the Pavarosa of a Hispanic choir, praise God. You're going to hear people, amen, worshiping God in Arabic. And those folks from Pakistan, I don't know if they're going to bring that clang or not. You talk about worship. What do they have over there? They have a little organ they put on a table. It's about, you know, like accordion size, and they play that. And then they got a clanger. What do you call it? Jimta. And it looks like a big fireplace tong. And it's about 2 foot wide, by 2 foot long, by 2 foot wide, and it looks like ice tongs. And they pull that together, and they clang that together, clang, 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 clang. And I think, this is music? This sounds crazy. But they are worshiping God. Hallelujah. And it doesn't care. God just loves it when they worship in spirit and in truth. Praise God. And then Jesus tried to show us he's concerned about broken families. And so he gave the story of a man who had two sons, and one of the boys decided he didn't want to listen to dad, didn't want to receive the responsibility at home, and he went off to see the big lights of Chicago. And Pop didn't know where he was. This is before cell phones. This is before GPS. This is before computers. This is before private detectives. God is concerned about your needs. God's concerned about your kids. God's concerned about your parents if you're the one that's here. And all Father could do was be faithful, 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 and pray, pray, pray. And you know the story. One day the son came to himself. Figure that out. In the middle of sin, he came to himself. In the middle of a pig pen, he came to himself. Amen. You never know when and where it's going to take place, but if we'll be faithful and keep praying, God will bring the wandering ones home. God will bring the prodigals home. God will speak to them. God will give them a revelation, praise God, and he'll bring them back to the family. And Jesus is concerned about you as well. What's the true family? Oh, we think it's our relatives. Amen. But you know what? I got a lot of relatives, blood relatives I never knew. I got some of them buried down in Madison, Indiana. I got some of them buried in New Philadelphia, Ohio. Amen. I've even got some down in Kentucky. Amen. One of my relatives down in Kentucky was named Shadrach. He's one of my great-great-grandparents. He had a brother named Meshach. True story. Amen. They had another brother, too. His name was Charles. And they're related to me, but I didn't know them. But Bishop John Grant, I know. Pastor Roy Grant, I know. Brother Don Hanscom, I know. These are my brethren, praise God. This is my real family, my spiritual family. Amen. So if you've got a little fussing with your natural family, join the spiritual family of God, and you'll find people who will love you, and they won't bring up your past all the time. Amen. Like some of your natural relatives did. Praise God. Amen. And what if you have a natural family, but you never knew them? Amen. Find the family of God. If you never knew a natural father, there's a heavenly father who's waiting to come to you and be your father. Praise God. Maybe sin has brought you some scars from your natural family, but God can take the solitary and he can set them together in families, praise God. And God wants to bless your family. In Genesis chapter 12, we have the story of Abraham. And we won't deal with it a lot, but in Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, out of your kindred, and leave your father's house. Hey, that's not custom. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. And verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. You leave your family, Abraham, and I'm going to give you more relatives than you could possibly count. Look up at the stars of the heaven, and your relatives, spiritually and naturally thereafter, are going to be greater in number than the stars of the heaven and the sand of the sea. And in verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in you, Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, I'm not Jewish. Abraham's not my father. I'm not Arab. Abraham's not my great-grandfather. Amen. But the blessing of Abraham has come to me through faith. The obedience of Abraham is an example to me. When I read what Abraham did, that's a blessing to me. Abraham was looking for a gift of God. Do you know that Muslims believe in a gift of God? And there's a certain holiday, the time changes in the year, and they will pray all night long for the gift of God. Abraham was praying and looking for a gift, and that gift has been received by us on the day of Pentecost, and every time we come together, Abraham's got a blessing he was looking for, and we have received it. In chapter 18 of Genesis, following Abraham a little bit more, God came to him, and God was on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to judge that city, and he's just getting ready to leave, and the two men with him, apparently angels, amen, are on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, and God says, halt, stop. He says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I will do, seeing that Abraham will become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? You see, all those who go back to Father Abraham have a certain blessing that they receive from Abraham naturally. But our blessing is spiritual. Hallelujah. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Praise God. So Abraham was chosen not just because he had faith, but because he would convey that faith to his family. And here we are today, and we are recipients of the faith that Father Abraham had. Praise God. Praise God. You know what the Lord wants? He wants a mature, whole and complete family. The book of Abraham, the book of Hebrews says, let's go on to perfection. So if you've got division in your family, if you've got problems in your family, if you've got friction in your family, if you've got disagreements in your family, if you've got fussing in your family, let's go on to perfection. God doesn't want broken families or broken lives. He wants to make us whole. He wants to make us complete. He wants to bring us together. The same way that the family is compared to the church, when you look at what Paul describes the church as in Ephesians, he says the church is for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, man unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of God. Paul says about the church that we should be no more children. We should grow up into him in all things. We are part of the body joined together, and we should affectionately work for the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, that was what Paul said about the church. Ephesians 4, you can read it at home. But if the church is compared to the family of God, if the church is compared to the bride of Christ, all of those things God wants in our natural families as well. He wants us whole. He wants us complete. He wants us blessed. He wants us growing. Next Sunday, we're going to have one of the best baby dedications they've ever had at Calvary Gospel. You know why? Because Josiah is going to be dedicated. But you know what? Josiah has none of my Greek blood. He has none of my Swiss and German blood. He doesn't have my wife's 100% German blood. We adopted Josiah into the family. But you can't tell the difference. Because when you receive one another in the family of God, love will reach out. You're my brother, I love you. You're my sister, I love you. Praise God. And God unites us together in the family of God. And we're one people, one family, one nation. We used to be every. We used to be divided. We used to come from different corners. We came from different cities and different streets and different houses and different nations. But folks, when we get up yonder, there's only one city. There's only one church. There's only one family. And there's only one Lord. And Jesus is his name. And Jesus wants our family to be complete. And he wants our family to be saved. Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, amen, has a testimony there that many of us know about from reading the story of Noah and the ark and the world of his day. God saw in 6:5 of Genesis the wickedness of man that was great. Every imagination was evil. And if that was the case then, and you think today where the world is with all that's going on, read it in your newspaper, read it in your magazine, amen, things are in bad shape today. The Lord was so sad that he had made man. It grieved him, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know why Noah found grace? Not just because he was going to believe God, not just because he was going to obey God, not just because he was going to build an ark, but because Noah had a family who was going to help him overcome the flood. And Noah had a family who was going to work with him to bring together the future of our world. Amen. And so God wants your family to be saved. When God came to Egypt, he was going to judge Egypt because of their unbelief, because of their false gods and goddesses and their beetle gods and their Nile River gods. But God wanted the family of Israel to be saved. And guess what? He not only saved them, he saved some others who went with them. Amen. But to save them, he said, get in your house, everyone in your father's house, and I want you to take a lamb for the family, and I want you to take the blood of that lamb, and I want it to paint the doorpost on the left. Paint the doorpost on the right. Paint the doorpost on top, and then you get inside because I want to save your whole family. And when they believed God, when they obeyed God, the families were saved. But you see, this is not just for Israel and Egypt. This is for whole wide world. He's got the whole world in his hand. And so he tells Peter, I've got a job for you. I want you to go visit some Italians. And Peter says, I don't speak Italiano. I don't even like spaghetti. Pete, just do what I tell you, would you? See, Father knows best. Father knows best. We try to make our excuses. We think, well, we know better than God. Father knows best. And when you figure that out, you will do the best, praise God. And so he goes there, and it's not just Cornelius, but Cornelius and his family, Cornelius and his friends, Cornelius and his household, Cornelius and his servants, praise God. And guess what? Salvation was for the whole family. So maybe you're here today, maybe you're here tonight, but salvation is for you and your family. When Peter told them what they should do to have a right relationship with God, he made it very simple. It wasn't 10 commandments like in the Old Testament. It wasn't 608 ordinances like in the Old Testament. It's really just four little things. One, believe God. Believe that Jesus is your Savior. Not social services, not the medical clinic. Jesus is your Savior. And then change your past. Turn it over to Jesus. Repent of your sins. And then identify with Him and be baptized into the body. Be baptized into the family. And then when you come to His family, He says, we've got a newborn babe. We've got a new member of the family. We're going to give them a wonderful gift. Not silver, not gold, but the spirit of the family Father. Hallelujah. 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 And maybe you thought that you're not good enough to get that gift. But Peter says this promise, the promise of salvation, the promise of the gift, the promise of eternal salvation, the promise of heaven, the promise of streets of gold, this promise is to you and your children and all that are far off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. And God is calling you today. God's calling your family today. And if you don't have a family, He's saying there's plenty of room in the family. Just come to the house of God. Amen, musicians. When you come, just come to the church. Praise God. We're not offering you church tonight. Amen. Church is not something you go to, but it's a family you belong to. We're not saying you got to sign a membership to be a member of Calvary Gospel Church. We're just saying there's a family here that will love you and help you and care for you. And if you want to be in that family, you could come. Shall we stand right now in Jesus' name? I realize that some must be leaving at this time. But others of you, you have a chance to come and reach out to your Father. Reach out to your Heavenly Father. Reach out to His love. Reach out to His mercy. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to keep you. Hallelujah. He wants you to be part of His family. Let's thank Him for that promise in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the family. Thank you for the family. Thank you for the family. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the family name. Thank you for the family spirit. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Pastor Roy Grant, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. If our altar workers could come. You want to be part of the family. As Brother Demas said, this is a family that you're born into. Born again into. If you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, or you've never spoken in tongues, that's what it takes to be part of this family. And it's free. It's kind of like your family seal. So I want to open up this altar. If you've never, maybe you need healing tonight. Maybe you're struggling with something internally. As our praise team begins to sing, I just want to invite you down. I want you to just stand in front of one of these people. They're just normal, everyday people. Don't be afraid. We want to invite you down to pray. So go ahead and start singing. We have our Syrian, our guests that are over here, and they wanted some prayer tonight. So I want to encourage maybe some of you men to join with them and get to pray.